And good morning. This is KGNU's Morning Magazine. It's Friday, January 1st, 2021. We made it through December, so everything's going to be all right. Merle Haggard had no idea what that would mean for 2020 when he wrote that popular song in 1973, but we're glad for the sentiment. Thank you for joining us here on listener-supported community radio. I'm Roz Brown. Coming up today, we take a look back at Boulder's top 10 stories for 2020 as compiled by the Boulder Daily Camera. Then Patty Limerick joins us. Limerick is the faculty director of the Center for the American West at the University of Colorado, and she'll share her hopes for 2021 and, of course, a few limericks to brighten this New Year's Day. At 8:30 this morning, it's Connections with Duncan Campbell. Duncan is joined by Lisa Graves, chair of the Center for Media and Democracy, for their conversation, Truth and Democracy Are Very Much at Stake. Then stay tuned at 9:30 for another morning of eclectic music until noon here at KGNU. First this morning, we start with headlines. Starting today, many low-wage workers across the U.S. are getting a pay bump. 20 states, including Colorado, are raising their minimum wage rates, some by pennies, others by a dollar or more, as part of a previously scheduled adjustment for cost of living gains, or to ratchet up toward goals like $15 an hour minimum pay. In New Mexico, the minimum wage will increase to $10.50. That's up $1.50 from the current $9 wage there. And in California, the rate for employers will go with 26 workers, that is, or more, will rise from $13 to $14 an hour, the highest statewide baseline in the country. Colorado's minimum wage will bump up by 32 cents, meaning the minimum wage will now be $12.32. 2020 saw a big jump in visitors at some of Colorado's state parks. And as KGNU's Steve Miller reports, beginning today, the state says it needs to increase fees for those parks.
Starting New Year's Day, visitors in six Colorado state parks will pay $1 more for what Colorado Parks and Wildlife is calling a high-use fee. Lake Pueblo, Golden Gate, Staunton, Castlewood Canyon, Roxborough, and Highland State Parks will all pay the dollar more increase to mitigate 2020's extra expenses and resource strains. The state parks are in need of maintenance funds after a year of record park visitation, record drownings, and increased protocols for COVID-19. The pay increase will help in trash collection, temporary staffing, and additional wear and tear on facilities. Cherry Creek, Chatfield, Boyd Lake, in El Dorado Canyon State Parks have already added high-use fees. El Dorado Canyon State Park typically hits capacity every day during the summer. CPW has begun working with Boulder to offer a shuttle service during those busy months. Other state parks may do something similar to help with the congestion. Passes to the 42 Colorado State Parks can be purchased at cpwshop.com. I'm Steve Miller for KGNU.
Today brings a new year and also the onset of several new laws in Colorado. Starting today, employers will face new requirements when it comes to posting job openings and promotions that are available within the company. The bill is aimed at preventing wage discrimination between employees for performing the same duties. A second bill requires employers to offer 48 hours of paid sick leave for employees. It stemmed from the COVID-19 pandemic and allows employees to begin accruing paid sick leave as soon as their employment begins. That sick leave can then be carried forwards in subsequent calendar years up to 48 hours. Employees will be able to use the sick leave for a mental or physical illness, to care for a sick family member, for instances of domestic abuse or assault, or in instances where a child's school has been closed. Another new law taking effect today that came out of COVID expands the qualifications for who can apply for unemployment insurance, and it prohibits landlords from asking a tenant about their citizenship status. The new law prohibits landlords from including that question on a housing application. A law that kicks off today aims at the enrollment process for health care coverage, particularly for people using Colorado's state exchange. They're trying to make it easier to understand. It creates an easy enrollment program to offer free or subsidized health care coverage for people who are uninsured. Finally, starting tomorrow, retail stores, marijuana stores that is, will be able to begin delivery if that has been approved in their local jurisdiction. So they'll be making deliveries. Those medical marijuana deliveries began last year. Longmont's electric and water rates are increasing starting this month. The 2021 municipal water and electric schedule changes are the second year of rate hikes in a multi-year rate hike schedule for Longmont residents. It's Friday, but it's also a holiday, and that means most places are closed today. Parking is free at city garages, parking lots, and on-street parking areas today. And good news in the COVID battle. Colorado's Lucille Ransom has been through a lot in her life. As a little girl, she lived through the 1918 pandemic. She suffered the loss of a child, recovered from two broken hips, and survived breast cancer at the age of 80. Now, at 103, she has survived COVID-19. Ransom is the oldest resident living at her retirement community in Steamboat Springs. Forecasts for today along the Front Range, a high temp of 42, low tonight 23. It's 26 degrees outside our Boulder studio at 8:09. "2020 will forever be remembered as the year of the global coronavirus pandemic. But there were also other stories that vied for our attention. The Boulder Daily Camera compiles a list of what it considers the top 10 local stories each year. And KGNU's Carl Armand joins me for a countdown of what the newspaper thought made the 2020 list.
In the number 10 spot, the surprise announcement in February by CU's newest football coach, Mel Tucker, that he was leaving the Buffaloes for the head coaching job at Michigan State University. Tucker was just 1 year into a five-year, $15 million contract.
The number 9 story was how police departments were forced into the spotlight in 2020. Much of the conversation included a reference to the murder of George Floyd in Minneapolis and the Black Lives Matter protests that followed that event. Boulder responded by hiring a new police chief in 2020, the first woman to ever serve in that position, while Longmont saw its longtime chief retire.
The story making the list at number 8 was related to number 9. It was the announcement from the Boulder Valley School District that it would discontinue its school resource officer program by January of 2022. The school board voted 6-1 in November to end having police officers visit local schools. In doing so, the board noted students of color in the Boulder Valley School District are more likely to be ticketed, arrested, suspended, or expelled than white students.
Coming in at number 7 on the Daily Camera list of top 2020 stories was approval of updated oil and gas regulations by the Boulder County Board of Commissioners. A major change requires future oil and gas well pads in unincorporated parts of Boulder County be set back at least 2,500 feet from any residential dwelling, school, or licensed child care facility. One commissioner called the oil and gas regs the strongest and most protective in the state.
Story number 6 was related to number 9 and number 8 on the 2020 list, a call for police reform and racial justice in response to the deaths of black men and women at the hands of police officers. On May 30th, about 500 people packed Boulder's Central Park 5 days after George Floyd died while being detained by police in Minneapolis. Protesters also noted the senseless deaths of Breonna Taylor and Denver's Elijah McClain, both following police encounters.
Story number 5 on the Daily Camera list was the fiasco over the local ballot issue, Bedrooms Are for People. The grassroots group was attempting to expand the number of people allowed to live together in the same house in Boulder. 3,000 signatures beyond what was needed had already been submitted when the city attorney said he'd made a mistake, not only about the number of signatures needed, many more, but also the date for submission, much earlier. The error kicked the measure off the ballot, and city council declined to intervene.
Story number 4. In October, smoke filling the skies and creeping under windowsills was no longer coming from wildfires in western Colorado, but caused by two wildfires in Boulder County. The Calwood Fire ignited on October 17th, 3 miles northwest of Jamestown, and was soon the biggest fire in the county's recent history. It destroyed at least 20 homes in its path. The Left Hand Canyon Fire ignited the next day in Left Hand Canyon Drive. It was mid-November before the Calwood Fire was 100% contained, and the two fires burned more than 11,000 acres.
A decade-long and controversial issue is story number 3 on the 2020 list. In November, Boulder voters agreed to a 20-year franchise agreement with Xcel Energy, effectively ending the city's historic effort to form its own municipal electric utility. Municipalization is essentially dead, but the franchise agreement offers the city 6 exit opportunities, 3 for any reason, and 3 if Xcel is not meeting certain benchmarks to create green energy goals. City officials expect the Colorado Public Utilities Commission to approve the Boulder Excel franchise agreement early this year.
It might seem like eons ago, but it was actually March 12, 2020, when the Boulder Valley and St. Vrain Valley school districts learned that the first person in Boulder County had tested positive for COVID-19. That's the Daily Camera's number two story for last year, the day Colorado State Health Department requested both districts close schools the next day. It wasn't long before the state had ordered that all schools stop in-person learning. That began the process of moving classes online and making sure students had working devices and internet access.
Finally, Boulder's number one story of 2020 was a shared story across the nation. The year had barely begun when the novel coronavirus COVID-19 pandemic were making headlines and within weeks upended nearly every aspect of life. New York City experienced the first wave in the U.S., and by April 7th, almost 95% of all Americans were under lockdown as 42 states issued stay-at-home orders. In addition to schools, businesses, stores, and restaurants closed their doors, and all large-scale events were canceled. As the death count spiraled up, the virus exposed shortcomings in healthcare systems around the world, but also increased our appreciation for frontline workers, the backbone of all societies. To them, we say thank you.
Yes, it was a long year. And thanks to KGNU's Carl Armand for helping us count down the top stories of 2020, again, as compiled by the Boulder Daily Camera. And we thank them and the journalists who work there. You're listening to KGNU's Morning Magazine. It's 8:15. Children's author Judith Vorrest wrote a book nearly 50 years ago, that is, called The Terrible, Horrible, No Good, Very Bad Day. One day like that would be enough, and for many of us, 2020 had too many of those. So how to start 2021? How to inject fresh energy into a brand new year? We called Patty Limerick, the faculty director of the Center of the American West at the University of Colorado. Limerick also is a professor of history and for decades has celebrated her role as CU's fool on April's Fool Day, noting that in the past, kings and queens recognized the value, really the necessity, of appointing fools who would speak openly and even festively of uncomfortable matters that would otherwise proliferate and fester. Always insightful, Limerick shares her four initiatives for 2021 and a few limericks to brighten the day.
Here is my first public record full report on why I have not fallen apart in 2020 and why I'm not going to fall apart in 2021. And I hope these are things that will be useful for others. It would be very sad if this only worked for me. I don't think it's just me. So I have found it very hard. I'm going to start with a really hard part, that because I've been remote working, almost all of my communications are, well, they're either Zoom, but many, many, many of them are in email. So I have fallen so pathetically behind. Rather than sitting around idle, I have just not doing well at all at keeping up with messages. So I have prepared a list of 4,000 people who have written me and not received a reply. And if it's okay with you, I would like to read that list of the 4,000 people in a mass apology. Just kidding. I'm not going to do that. So there are thousands of people that have written, and I just am intending to write, and I never quite get to that. So that is my major source of bad behavior and collapse, I guess. I'm going to catch up. I swear I am. But then we get to what is going really well, that so many of my conversations and engagement with the world, even though I'm kind of housebound, are on Zoom. And I have Southern American West, I have a major project funded by the Mellon Foundation for me to help young folks with recent degrees in history reach wider audiences. Plus, I have lots of contacts with students at CU, and so I am on Zoom quite a bit, and I am mentoring. First, I would like to say that I have written a limerick about this, which I hope will be an inspiration for people who didn't think they would like Zoom. So here we go. Here's the first ever hearing of this limerick. When I found myself living on Zoom, I thought I would wither, not bloom. But where some find fatigue, I find joy and intrigue and a refuge from boredom and gloom. First run of that ever for this audience, first airing. And I will just say, I have never been on better terms with my subconscious because of this. I dream a lot. I would say, to the degree I know what I'm dreaming, when I awaken, I have been dreaming about being with wonderful groups of people. That's nice. But I have also been dreaming about mentoring and encouraging the young. Then I'm now going to turn to four ways in which I think Boulder could lead the world in 2021 as we launch in here. So the first one is that Boulder could lead college towns nationally and internationally in convening the first 2021 pandemic era intergenerational truth and reconciliation initiative, because I don't think generational relationships in college towns are going well, and I have evidence to support that. I think that older people, of which I would be one, although I'm not one of the crabby ones, but older people have reasons just to look at young people these days and think, well, how come they're not so much affected by the virus? Young people do get sick. Young people do die in some cases. But the percentage of affliction is, of course, much greater for older people than for young people. I think that's created a zone of weirdness between the young and the old. I think we should address that. And in a college town, it is hard not to take aim at the small percentage of young people who are behaving irresponsibly in mask wearing or not mask wearing, and to overgeneralize fast and intensely and lastingly about the rest of the young people. So that's on the elder side. There's some repair work to be done, I think, with the younger generation in college towns. Then, on the young people's side, I think they have every right to look at their elders and think, can't you get this together? You tell us to come back. We come back. Some of us come back. And then we are going to be, oh, now we have to go remote. Now we're getting condemned by the public health department. I mean, it just seems to me that they have a right to say, older folks, could you just be a little bit steadier in what you're setting up for? So that's why I'm really excited about the idea of both the city council, county commissioners, community foundation, whoever wants to do it, convening the first very influential intergenerational truth and reconciliation initiative in a college town. So then we are going to go to my second initiative where Boulder could lead. The nation totally stymied in the how do we talk across the political divide. Terrible mess. I mean, it's a very serious problem of the Trump supporters and the not Trump supporters. Then I guess we'll call them the Biden supporters. So what do we do about that? Well, lucky Boulder to have Weld County right next door. So the juxtaposition of Boulder County and Weld County is just utopian in terms of our opportunity to experiment with styles of communication and bridge building, and looking at that word trust and asking ourselves, when has trust been repaired in human history? When can we find case studies and examples where people who were divided came into each other's company? And this can be virtual, it doesn't have to be in person. How can we take examples from human history where people have been at odds and then move past that? And how can we then use our really fortunate proximity between Boulder County and Weld County to say, let's try it. Let's take some of these methods from the past or that are ongoing in the present around other parts of the country, and let's just see what we can do in the conversation between Boulder and Weld. The fact that Erie has both counties, sits in both counties, just could not be better for a let's give this a try. Is there a guaranteed success? Of course not. But is there a wonderful opportunity presented by this fortunate proximity and geography? Yes. The third one is to have Boulder lead in announcing the results of the giant social psychology experiment that we have all unwillingly been involved in. We all had, every one of us, however we've been categorized in the past, has had an extraordinary opportunity to put the notion that people come in two categories, introverts and extroverts. We have been given this privilege of a great social psychology experiment in which we are the lab rats, we're the experimental creatures, and we have been given the chance to say, does that really hold up? Do people really come in those two categories? Are they intrinsic? Are they innate? Or are those things that people acquire in different measures and different occasions and different places to exercise certain skills or to let those skills atrophy? So here's what I'm seeing, and I have the New York Times to back me up. I have a very reputable thing. The New York Times has a recent story that says, the headline is, these days even extroverts feel awkward. So those of us who have been stereotyped as extroverts, we've been off by ourselves for quite a spell, so that when we are actually trying, if we run into someone, big outing to the grocery store, we're kind of clumsy and chatting. We don't seem to be at all affirming our reputation as people who are socially so at ease, very comfortable talking to anybody. On the contrary, we kind of, our minds go blank. What is it we're supposed to do? We can't hug them. Don't hug them. We got that part. Don't hug them. But how do we just talk like people? So we have had an experiment also where extroverts have had plenty of opportunities to discover that they kind of enjoy their own company. Walking by myself, thinking thoughts that just come to know for no reason I can see, that's pretty fun. And so this notion, I think I've always known that about myself, that the categories aren't working, but we have now had a giant, giant social experiment, and the results are very clear that we have, some of us have developed certain skills for certain areas of social life. Those areas are gone now. Some of us were better at performing as if social situations were easy, to the point where they almost did become easy because we had put on that performance enough. That's all gone. So this is the third experiment, which is the announce the results and the call to action. Introverts and extroverts unite. You have nothing to lose but an unproven psychological theory that unnecessarily drove people apart. That's the third one. Then the fourth one, this one is more serious, I guess. The pandemic took our already divided society with multiple forms of division and added a new, extremely powerful, consequential form of division. So the new divide in 2020 that we got that will certainly carry into 2021 is the differential hardship of the virus. Some people have encountered dire circumstances of unemployment and financial disaster. Some have encountered illness that hit hard in many cases, but then lingered. And others have died and left relatives and friends in grief. Others of us, and this is my group, have not, well, we've lost the chance to go to the airport. I used to travel a lot, don't get to do that anymore. I've lost the opportunity to give speeches in rooms with really wonderful people gathered in them. I've lost the chance to hang out with students. I've lost the chance to bring students over to my house for gatherings. Okay. And that's about it. So my hardships are so minimal. It's hard to even mention them without wanting to apologize for even putting them in the category of hardship. So there is this divide now. Those who have been hit really hard by the virus and its ripples of consequences, and those who have not, those who are in trouble and those of us who are not in trouble, figuring out how that differential in hardship maps onto the pre-existing divisions. That seems like Boulder could be the center of synthesizing and bringing together what I'm sure are multiple studies going on in many places about that. To some degree, the differential in hardship maps directly onto the pre-existing divisions, income inequality, racial inequity. Those, it's not hard to see how, in fact, you can simply, well, one has just got superimposed on another, a new set of divisions. And yet, I'm going to make a forceful statement that it's not just that. People of privilege have suffered from the illness, continue to suffer from the lingering effects, and have lost treasured relatives and friends. And economic privilege cushions grief, kind of, and then it doesn't. So the intensity of the losses are not in the least confined to people who were already on the unequal side of opportunity, privilege, income, and so on. The injuries of the pandemic cross over and affect those of privilege as well. So there's something that I'm going to say could pass for common ground, for some sort of shared, this is what it's like to really face deserved, unasked for affliction. So I can see Boulder, because it's got a very good social science set up here, and they've got such a team for saying, let's pull this together. Let's look to see how this division has simply reinforced pre-existing divisions, but let's also look to see how it has created bridges of alliance and empathy. So those are my four ways in which Boulder will lead in 2021. Now we get to three original limericks that I present now in order to say that in 2021, we had better keep finding places for a sense of humor, even in these dire and troubling circumstances. We have to find a way that humor can still come to our aid as the WD-40 of social conflict, and also just as the fact that at memorial services, people tell funny stories about the person we have lost. So that's there, that humor can still stay in the picture and be compatible with our efforts to cope with real tragedy. So these limericks involve the fact that there are a number of vaccines that we need that no laboratory in biomedicine is going to be able to produce. We need a vaccine for nostalgia, for the pre-pandemic world. We need a vaccine for the overuse, well, even any use of the word normal, as if we could ever figure out what that meant for that pre-pandemic era. And we need a vaccine for complacency, so that if we are able to have a vaccine for the virus itself, for COVID-19, that goes to work, that's not a reason to return to complacency, which in fact was pretty much what made the troubles greater once the virus is here. So here are three limericks that I hope put those three dangers of complacency, of nostalgia, of enthusiasm for the notion of the restoration of the normal. So here's the one on the vaccine for nostalgia, for the idea that we once lived in a time where everything was working great. The most important vaccine has never been found or foreseen. Nostalgia is spreading. No one knows where it's heading nor what its symptoms will mean. There's a little warning thing that nostalgia is not our friend. Then, following up on that, the word normal, which, of course, embodies that nostalgia that will somehow define what normal once was, and then we will recreate it. My authority is not at all formal, and my powers are not supernormal, but I see trouble ahead with hope falling dead till we are free of that useless word, normal. Then, the third brand new limerick about complacency. Complacency brought us to peril with views that were brittle and sterile. If it regains its power, we'll have reason to cower as we head off to hell in a barrel. So that's that. And then we have my helpful hints, things that I think might be helpful for others if they are trying to find small things to do that would make them feel better in life. The first one is don't look at yourself on Zoom. One reason I did so well on that is that I never got into that thing where, like, parakeets looking at themselves in mirrors. I don't do that. I'm just looking with enchantment at the people whose faces are on the screen. And it seems like the people who are looking at themselves are not enjoying the experience anywhere near as much as they want. So don't look at yourself on Zoom. That's the first helpful hint. Second helpful hint is sing while you walk. If you're walking around town, you should walk around town. That's a good idea. And you can sing quite loudly, and the quality of your voice is not relevant anymore because there's nobody around. The third helpful hint is to put garlic in everything, to get fresh garlic and chop it up and put far more than the recipes call for, and then have lots of veggies and a really, really good plan for coping with dining alone. And then keep planning what you're going to do when you can go to restaurants and go to hundreds of dinners out, just lunches and breakfasts, and just let's just spend money. If we have that money to spend, let's spend it trying to help restaurants back into the world. And then do something you would not do in the way of a kind word to someone who you would ordinarily pretend wasn't there.
You've been listening to Patty Limerick, Faculty Director of CU's Center of the American West. If you'd like to read more of her writing, including limericks, go to centerwest.org. And you can find them under Not My First Rodeo.